that, we've got company.
Hello.
Trust me, Hera, I'm excited. This is my excited face.
No, this makes me so happy.
I like you. You don't fit in around here either.
All right, if I tag along?
More the merrier.
Get ready to be impressed.
You ready to be impressed, Tam?
I'm completely ready.
Bright suns, everyone. You're listening to the Geeky Bubble podcast, where we talk about the Star Wars animated shows from the comfort of our own geeky bubble. I am your host, Jonah Marie, and with me is the Eleni to my Hera, my mom, Maria.
Yay! Today, we're going to discuss the Bad Batch episodes, Devil's Deal, and Rescue on Ryloth.
Yes, Devil's Deal was written by Tamara Boettcher-Wilkinson and directed by Stuart Lee, and Rescue on Ryloth was written by Jennifer Corbett and directed by Nathaniel Villanueva. So we decided to put these two together because they were related. It was a two-parter, essentially, even though it didn't have a to be continued.
Or a part one, part two.
Right. So we thought it best to keep it together. That way we can talk about the whole thing as one rather than it being in parts, because we would have theorized things that didn't come true. In this episode. Like, one of them was, I really thought Eleni was going to die. I thought this is how it's going to start for Cham
and Hera.
And this is going to catapult them into where we see them later. But no, that's not what happened, thankfully, because I didn't want to witness that. That would have been a bit too much. But let's start off with Devil's Deal. I mean, we'll talk about both episodes together, but I just wanted to touch on Devil's Deal because of the title. Mm-hmm. So it reminded me of Lando in The Empire Strikes Back, when he tells Han and Leia that I've just made a deal that will keep the Empire out of the here forever. And then, you know, he opens the door and Darth Vader's there. And that was the deal.
Yeah.
And then he later on says, this deal's getting worse all the time. So I really love how making the deal with the Empire, or essentially the devil, quote unquote, it's just going to get worse every time.
Yep.
It's not what you think it's going to be. And Cham came to that realization.
It's the one thing that I don't understand. You know, the people that you're making a deal with are not the best people, are not good, but you still make the deal expecting the outcome to be different. That's the definition of insanity.
It is.
If something is too good to be truth, it usually is.
Right. Or desperation, I feel, because there was a lot of desperation on Cham's part. But before we dive into him, I just wanted to touch on the Bad Batch, because I feel like the Bad Batch needed a little bit more in these episodes. But what were your thoughts about the Bad Batch's role in this two-part episode?
Well, like you said, we decided to watch the two episodes together because we immediately saw that they were going to go from one to the next. So it was a continuous thing. Now, having seen both, I'm hoping that this is a setup for what we're going to see next in terms of the Bad Batch, in terms of not a fight yet with their own, one of their own.
I see. Yeah.
Because it to me, that was one of the things that came across more clear than anything. I don't think that the Bad Batch is going to be fighting the Empire as much as they're going to have to fight one of their own,
right,
which is Crosshair. It's going to be about them.
Okay.
What happens between them. How all culminates. That's what I got from these two. And to me, that's how I feel it. Like, this is a setup for their own internal struggles as to who they are, what is their place.
Right. Personally, I was hoping that we'd see the Bad Batch and Omega linger and voluntarily help what was happening after they dropped off the weapons. Like, the Bad Batch going into the ship and Omega saying, wow, this situation is serious. Maybe we should help. Sort of like how she was pushing them in the second episode, but then for them to stay voluntarily, because I feel like that would have shown, it would have connected back to what the Martez sisters told them about choosing a side. There are certain things that don't follow through in the series, and I wish that they would, because then it shows a little bit more depth than what they're showing us.
I don't know, as a person who is in charge of other persons,
Yeah, and that's another thing. Yeah.
I feel that I could have made all the choices, but I do understand their choices.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that what we're seeing is how Omega is putting it all together.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So she's the one that is realizing this is not just their fight. This is going to have to become our fight sooner or later, which is why I think she gave Hera their comb.
Right.
Because she knows they're going to have to start connecting with the rest of the universe out there.
And what I think is holding them back is the fact that Hunter, like how you just said, has a priority in protecting those he cares about, yeah. Omega and the rest of the
exactly.
Bad Batch.
And I think he's really in a position where he doesn't feel confident anymore.
Mm.
He doesn't think he's going to be able to protect them.
And I can...
So the only way he can protect really protect them is by keeping them away.
And I can see that being the case because in previous episodes, like the military-based mm-hmm. operations, they were able to succeed, whereas the ones that were just not military-related, they failed.
And this is why, and I think this is why he keeps away. He doesn't take that step.
Okay.
Because he's afraid. He's already lost one. And I know they haven't touched on it verbally.
Yes.
But we know because of something he said in prior ones and the way he's always looking back at Crosshair when they're going away, he's still hurting about that one. He doesn't want to lose anyone.
Right.
So
I wish they were a bit more verbal about that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, this is the thing that I've noticed. They're trying to make us think on some things, but then on others, they're giving us too much, you know? So to what you were saying, like, things could have happened in prior episodes. Now, this is the part where they're giving us more than what they should have. And in the parts that we feel they should give us more is where they're making us think.
Right.
So
it should be a little bit on the reverse side, yeah. Because the emotions doesn't really come through.
Yes, exactly. You really have to look for them, which is what I'm always looking.
Or look for them or interpret it that way when maybe that's not what the intention was.
So, yeah, and that's what I think is happening with Hunter. And why is it that he's still like in that struggle where he wants to help, but he doesn't feel he should help because he's responsible for his group, for right. his team.
Right. I will say that I also would have liked a few moments back at Sid's parlor because of the fact that these two episodes were sort of framed from the Ryloth perspective. We just only got them for like a few seconds in mm-hmm. that first episode. So I would have liked for the episode to have gone back to Sid's parlor, maybe have them listening to a radio talking about how the Empire is negotiating with Ryloth. Basically propaganda.
Yeah.
And because that's what the Empire is known for at this point in time. So maybe they're listening to it and maybe Echo and Tech comment on how it's an independent world, how the freedom fighters. So it's like there's things to make it feel like they're still involved in what's going on. And Echo especially, because Echo to me still comes off as wanting to be the soldier. Because we saw that in Battle Scars. You know, he told Hunter, we're soldiers. What else could we be? And so I feel like this could have been a great way for Echo to keep voicing that opinion. We're soldiers. We should be doing something.
Well, all I can say is let's see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Until the end.
Yeah.
You know, because we've been there where we think certain things should not have been or should be or whatever. And then at the end we realize, oh, so that's why.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So we'll see.
Yeah, and that's the thing with these shows that they set up things that will be touched on later on. We saw that with Rebels.
Yeah, so
I just hope that we see more of the characters. Yeah. I really do love when Tex says, children often overreact. And I love that Omega was like, no, we don't. But you know what? Adults overreact too.
Yeah.
So like, I know Tech isn't the type to overreact, but adults can also do this.
That was good because it does show as adults, we tend not to pay too much attention to what our children are saying. And sometimes what they say and do can really tell us a lot about where they are, where their headspace is.
And where your own headspace is at the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
like, they're not always crying wolf.
Yeah. And when they're crying wolf, sometimes is an indication on something else.
Right.
You know,
right.
Pay attention.
Something but underlying. Yeah.
But I love it when she says, no, we do not.
And Hunter, I do love his line when he said, being strategic is knowing your limitations, Omega, which is interesting because in the previous episode, not this previous episode, but the one where she was doing the Jarek game and her strategy coming through in that episode, it's interesting to see her get not lost, but her emotions overtake the situation and her losing what should be a strategic outlook on what's happening, whereas Hunter has a more defined approach.
But then this is the thing. We're seeing the development of Omega in becoming that center that holds everything, because she's connecting things. And as important as strategy is, it is also important to have a heart.
Yes, this is true. So Omega definitely has the heart, and the opposite was Hunter, where he distanced himself from the situation. So yeah, Hunter distances himself from helping, saying he has his own people to look out for. And I love Eleni's line where she says, if a war is coming, it will be their fight as much as ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is what we know is going to play a lot between Hera and Cham's relationship.
Right.
Because then Hera knows the bigger picture, sees the bigger picture. Cham just wants to concentrate on Ryloth.
Yeah, Cham and Hunter really came off similarly in these two episodes, where they're wanting to do things in a way that protects their children.
Yeah.
Or the people that they love. So Cham decided to make this deal because it will bring us peace. You know, he doesn't want Hera to experience what he's experienced. And then Hunter wants to distance himself so that he can protect his family.
And we see that it doesn't always work out the way that...
Exactly. You try to control the situation, but there's so many things that you can't control that are out of your control.
Learn to control that which you can, and let go of that which you cannot.
Right. And that line from Eleni, it made me wonder whether Hunter will join the fight.
Right.
You know, the big fight that will eventually be on their doorstep, essentially, with the Civil War. So things like that, the Martez sisters saying you have to choose a side, Eleni's quote about how their fight is as... it will be their fight as much as ours. Like, I feel like this is placing little seeds in Hunter for what's to come later.
And this is where I'm hoping that on the next, four episodes that are left?
Right.
We get a resolution so that when we come to the finale of the... we at least see what exactly is to come for them.
Yeah.
Because then now they know who they are and what their place is right now in this moment in history is.
Right. Yeah, I'm curious. And Hunter has a great conversation with Omega, and he says, we can't put our lives on the line every time someone's in trouble. And Omega says, why not? Isn't that what soldiers do?
Exactly.
And Hunter had told Echo before that they're not soldiers anymore, you know, in that specific episode, Battle Scars. So why do you think Hunter gave in when Omega brought it up?
I think it's because she's the one that is making more sense. He has a connection with her. He feels more about what she says than what the other guys say.
Echo.
Tech.
Right.
It's sort of like, this kid is showing me more about who I'm supposed to be than anybody else.
Yeah, she's challenging them, which is what she's supposed to be doing.
I have to question. Every time she tells me something, I have to question who I am. What am I doing?
Right.
And I think that's why, because at that moment, he's sort of like stepping back and questioning himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so fascinating to see moments when he challenges her so that she can learn something, and moments when she challenges him so that he can learn something.
I love the dynamic because as adults, we think we know everything.
Right, yeah.
As adults, we have experience already. We have years of going through troubles and problems and resolutions. So we think we know everything. But every now and then, we have to take a step back and see it from another's perspective. And if that other is a child, then so be it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I think this is what we're getting with Hunter and Omega. Yes, sometimes you're right, sometimes I'm right, but we need to listen to each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I know earlier we mentioned that Hunter and Cham are very similar and what they do and how they approach situations, because protecting the ones they love is their priority. Do you think Hunter would be more up for playing the role of a soldier if Omega wasn't part of the picture at all?
Yeah, I do think so. I do think that he would have embraced more the fighting than he is doing right now. Mm. Because again, he feels he needs to protect her.
Right.
You know, and as smart and capable as she is, she's still a child. And to him, he needs to protect this child, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to protect his whole team because he's seen the consequences of what can happen with Crosshair.
Right, right.
But then he also has an even bigger connection and an even bigger worry with Omega because of her being a child.
Right.
And remember back to Kat and the things that Kat said to him about raising a family, about being a father. So this is his struggle between being a father and being a leader.
Right.
Because they're not necessarily the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
As a father, yes, you are a leader, but you also have to have that emotional thing there. A leader needs to be more distanced because he needs to be able to lead for the whole. As a father, you're just concentrated in a child. So he's dancing between being a leader and being a father.
Right.
And he's back and forth. And to a guy who was never a father before, this is heck of a confusing.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And it's coming across. And I like that because you can see it. He is confused. He doesn't know what to do.
Mm. And I know we mentioned Crosshair earlier. And I totally understand Crosshair is a quote-unquote bad batcher. But I don't know whether he sees himself that way anymore. But there was just, to me, there was just no character development for him. And I know people are like, well, the first episode has Crosshair, so maybe it is from the Bad Batch's perspective.
Mm-mm.
But the thing is, he didn't have any development. We didn't see him questioning his role in all of this. We didn't see him hesitating in his actions. We didn't see him reaching up to his head from the ion blast. Or we didn't even see him, and this is what I was hoping for. I was hoping that we'd see him and Hauser talking with each other. Like, why didn't we get like a good nugget of conversation between them? So yeah, he had a presence in both episodes, but he was just doing the same thing that he did before. And I was hoping that his chip just stopped working because of the ion blast and that he was doing things out of choice. But then we didn't get a follow-up to that. He just has a scar and he shaved his head. So it's like, I hope we get to see where the choice is playing a role in what he's doing.
Well, you may disagree with me here.
Most likely.
But I do think a choice was made. He was given an instruction, an order to go and defend the refinery. He chose not to go and stay. So that may be far reach. People may call it far reach.
Maybe.
But to me, that is an indication that within the programming, he is making his own choices. I feel Crosshair has been cemented into being a soldier for the Empire.
And I get if that's where they're wanting to go, but they could have also done that by removing the chip and having him make that choice of wanting to be with the Empire. Because at least he then has a choice. I'm still thinking about Crosshair and the fact that he is being controlled by the chip. And to me, I can't completely fault him because he has no choice in the matter. Whereas if he did, then I can be, you know what? You did that because you wanted to. But I can't say that right now.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You're talking from the upper perspective, from the outside, the bigger picture.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that blast just did what I thought it had done, which is basically just melt in his brain.
Well, then show us that. And I was hoping that the following episode to that would have been him in a Bacta tank from the, you know, the healing. And then the Kaminoan saying that the chip is no longer functioning, but that he is still fully committed to the Empire. Or maybe the Kaminoans just hold it to themselves because that's something that could potentially be a red alarm for the Empire. Like, show us his perspective. And then I can say, okay, we're getting a little bit more depth here now. Okay. Because right now I'm just trying to like find little things to grasp onto and say, oh, maybe it's this or maybe it's that. But we don't really know for sure because we haven't been getting his perspective.
We'll see.
So I'm hoping we'll get it now since this is going to be his mission.
Yeah, now his mission is to hunt them down.
Right.
Now he has been told directly. Go for it.
Yeah, basically. So, what were your thoughts on just Crosshair overall in these two episodes?
All I kept thinking is, good soldiers follow orders. That was it. Every single time he did something, good soldiers follow orders.
Right, and that's because of the chip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I honestly think that there's no way for him coming back from this. I'm interested. I'm very interested in knowing what's going to come.
Yeah, I feel like there is a way for him to come back because, as my friends told me in a past group chat with Fangirls Going Rogue, it's very similar to the Winter Soldier. And Bucky Barnes did things that he never would have done voluntarily or consciously. He was the Winter Soldier for a big portion of his life, and he did things that still haunt him. If he can come back and atone for what he did, then I want Crosshair to come back and atone for what he did. Unless Crosshair makes a choice of not wanting to come back at all, because this is what he's fully committed to now. And then I can say, you know what, then that's your choice. I completely understand, but I won't forgive you. You know what I mean?
I'm starting to get the feeling, and this is based on what we knew of the arc that we saw on the Clone Wars.
Which one?
The arc with the Bad Batch.
Oh, the Bad Batch arc. Where
they
were
introduced. And what happened in the beginning of the show now, and what I've seen happening, what little I have seen happening with Crosshair. Crosshair was most susceptible to the ship's command because he already was the clone soldier. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yes.
And I think that his end is going to be as a soldier for the Empire. Would I love to him coming back? Yeah, it will have to be perfectly done. But I think he's just going to be an Empire soldier.
And that's fine to me. I don't want it to be because of the chip. Just because of the chip. Like, I want it to be because he wants to. And I feel like that choice needs to play a part in order for that to be okay.
But as you saw here, only some of the soldiers in Hauser's team were willing to throw their arms. But some others did not. And this is what we know is true to all of them. The chip and what the chip does. So you're trying to give Crosshair something that we haven't been fighting for every other clone. Like, their choice. Yes, they have a choice, but no, they don't. It's a tug of war.
It depends on the situation. It depends on the person. Hauser was able to resist it for whatever reason, and that's good on him. But there are others who aren't as able to fight it. Crosshair being an example. So they're foil characters to each other. Crosshair isn't able to make his own choices, able to make his own decisions. He is able to do it, like you said, within the parameters of the program, within the parameters of the chip.
And this is what I'm saying. I think that this is how it's going to stay.
And that's the problem for me, because right now he is a slave to the Empire, essentially. And it's going to be tragic if he dies because he wasn't able to make a choice. He might die as a slave and as property. And maybe they're going for the tragic angle here, but that's also incredibly disturbing to force a character to do wrong, terrible things, to make him the bad guy, and then potentially kill him, having never made a single choice outside of the chip. Like, I know people might not like Crosshair for his personality or whatever. He didn't do anything to make him a fan favorite. But it's the principle here that matters. This is a man who's being controlled by a chip. This is a man who's being forced to be a slave. So that's what's bothering me. And that's why I would like for him to make the choice outside of the chip. Because then from this point forward, whatever he does, I'm going to blame the chip for it. I'm not going to blame Crosshair completely.
Gotcha. and this is what I'm saying. I think that in the end, we're just going to see Crosshair just staying with the Empire.
Yeah, I guess we'll see how it pans out. But speaking of Hauser, what a hottie. What a hottie.
Hot Hauser.
Oh my goodness, with that hair and the undercut, which reminded me, because Ezra in the art book, the Star Wars Rebels art book, had an undercut where he just had, you know, the top of his hair and everything else was shaved. And I thought, oh my God, that's such a good look for him. And then when I saw Hauser and I thought, oh my God, that's such a good look for you. And his, you know, behavior, his markings on the armor go back to what Rex was saying in Battle Scars, which is only some were able to resist the chip.
One thing that I found very curious is that when Syndulla was talking to the people in the beginning,
yes,
he said, you know, the clones help us. They stay and they helped us.
Right.
He didn't mention the Jedi.
Yeah, I did find it weird that the Jedi weren't mentioned. Like, not even a reaction because, to what happened to them.
Exactly, because, okay, maybe the Jedi didn't stay, the clones did, but it was because the Jedi that the clones stayed.
Yeah.
You know, and no mention of the Jedi.
Yeah, that I found very odd.
Yeah.
And going back to Hauser, like, I do love the comparison or the contrast between Hauser and Crosshair. And then there was like this one moment where you see them staring at each other because of Rampart, something that Rampart said. And I like, I really wish there had been more, or like a little bit of conversation between them, just so that we can establish between them what their ideologies are at that point in time.
Because Rampart was basically pitting them one against each other. Like, you know, if you cannot do it, I have somebody who is a leader who can do it for you. And that's when Crosshair just looked at him like,
yeah. And I'm also surprised Crosshair didn't shoot Hauser.
Yes.
I was, because of the pitting against, I thought, well, this is your chance. This is your chance to take out someone who could potentially take your spot if it ever came to it. But nothing came of it, which was also interesting of its own, because then you could say that he didn't see it as necessary, or
he didn't see Hauser as a real threat.
Exactly.
And I like that he's the one that gives the command to arrest them.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And I'm interested to see if Hauser will play a role later on, and whether that might play a role with Crosshair.
In the scene where he comes in and tells them, don't go out that way because they're waiting for you, and then they're moving out to go to the shuttle, I think it's Hunter looks back at Hauser standing there. And remember that Hunter knows how to contact Rex.
Yes.
So I'm at that moment, I thought, Maybe Hunter tells Rex that there's an ally for you in Ryloth, you know?
Yeah, you're going to have to rake them out. It would be cool if Rex does do that, because he does seem to be looking for people who are of a like mind, who are able to help in whatever he is, whatever it is that he's doing. And so, yeah, that would be interesting. And the thing is that whatever it is that he's doing, it ultimately will fail. Because that's where we see him later on in Rebels, and it could potentially lead to Hauser's death. Because we don't see Hauser later on. Maybe he did survive and we just don't know where he is. But there's a possibility that he could die in a potential clone rebellion that, you know, we kind of hope is going to happen at any point in the series.
Another thing that also came to mind when that moment happened. The first one was, I'm going to let Rex know about this guy.
Right.
The second one being, am I going to have to be him at one point?
Making the choice?
Making the choice of being that sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's totally possible. I remember thinking that at some point beforehand. I don't remember what it was that made me think about it. But yeah, the idea that Hunter could potentially put himself in a situation that could, you know, save his family, but then put himself in jeopardy. So yeah, that would be interesting. Another thing I was thinking about is, what if Hauser is taken to Kamino and his chip is enhanced in the same way as Crosshair? Like, that would suck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would suck a lot.
And to be honest, I don't think that's going to happen, just because it doesn't seem like something that they're going to follow up on or follow through with. So, you know, I don't think so.
At this point, the Empire really doesn't. They're using the clones for how much they can use them, but I don't think they're really spending the effort or the time anymore on them, because of the fact that they want to distance themselves from the whole operation.
Exactly. Yeah. And what I also loved was the fact that Crosshair was able to witness not only the Bad Batch resisting whatever the effect of the chip was and escaping and doing their own thing, but also seeing this other clone going against the Empire. So he is being exposed to this stuff, and hopefully it will click with him somewhere. If that's what they intend to do with his character.
And maybe that's why he didn't shoot him.
Maybe. You know? So we'll see. Did you have any other thoughts about Hauser?
No. Hauser.
I just dream of him.
That's all.
And I love how the community completely fell in love with him. Like, he was the heartthrob of the past 2 weeks in the Star Wars community. So let's move into the Twi'leks. Let's talk about Cham, Eleni, and Hera. So in Liberty of Ryloth, which was an episode back in Star Wars The Clone Wars, Cham and Mace Windu have a conversation about Ryloth.
I hope you don't mind this. A little distraction goes far to ease the burden of the war, my men.
You have provided well for your men, all your people. So why won't you help me free them from this occupation?
I don't trust Senator Tarr. His plans for a world after the war.
The Republic will help you rebuild. We won't abandon you.
Your troops will stay for security?
For a while, to keep the peace.
Another armed occupation is not a free Ryloth. How long before I am fighting you, Master Jedi?
What I also found interesting about that episode, the fortune cookie said, compromise is a virtue to be cultivated, not a weakness to be despised. So it's interesting to see how Cham has cultivated that virtue, because he is there to make a compromise with the Empire, but at what cost?
Yeah.
And that's the question that Eleni brings up later. At what cost?
In there lies the difference between the first quote-unquote occupation and this second occupation. The fact that he spent, I don't know what time passed, years or whatnot.
Yeah, years.
Working with the clones to keep his planet free. So he developed a relationship, and he saw it no longer as an occupation, but as a
means to an end.
Exactly. Yeah. And a group of people that were willing to sacrifice themselves, because he does mention that in his speech.
Right.
They came and they helped us and they sacrificed their own to help us.
Right.
But then now he sees them complying with the empire, and it's less about helping Ryloth to be free.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the looks between Hauser and Cham, because it's sort of like Cham is, what are you guys doing? I thought you were my friend, right. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And we see Hauser in his look back. I'm so sorry this right. is happening to
mm-hmm.
you,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. It's interesting to see Cham in this sort of predicament, because he spent a long period of time mm-hmm. fighting. And I know he said that the people are tired of fighting, but it was very
feels
clear
more
to me that he's
the one tired
who's
of
tired of fighting. And I was wondering whether you also got that. And clearly you did.
Because
yeah.
clearly the people are not tired of fighting. Because
no.
they were in that plaza screaming and not happy,
riled
up.
Up. Yeah.
So the people are not the ones that are tired. I think it's him. He's tired of fighting. He's tired of seeing people dying,
right. mm-hmm.
you know, and he thinks this is the best way.
Right. Cham also has a heart-to-heart chat with Hera and talks about the kind of life he wants her to have.
My dream was for a free Ryloth. For our people to happily live in a world at peace. We have that now.
The people don't seem very happy.
Their lives, much like yours, have been surrounded by war for far too long. But we are coming through it.
Uncle Gobi doesn't think so. He says things are getting worse.
I am well aware of what your uncle thinks. He and I want the same things, but differ in our approach.
If we need to fight, I am as capable as anyone. Gobi, trust me to do my part. Why can't you?
That fiery spirit. You remind me of myself at your age. But I want more for you, Hera. Fighting, it takes a toll. My hope is that you won't ever have to live a life like mine.
And it's kind of like a chuckle moment, sad chuckle moment, because obviously
she does
live his life. And in more ways than one, because besides the fighting, she also loses the love of her life, just like he lost or will lose the love of his life, Eleni, later on. Oh, and speaking of Hera and Caleb, who we know becomes Kanan, what I also found interesting, and I know my friend Michael from Rebel Cells podcast was talking about this too, was the fact that Caleb, at the beginning of the series, we see him distancing himself from the clones. And, you know, you see that with, like, this massive waterfall between them. And of course, I brought up my Ezra Bridger is going to bridge the gap between him and the clones later on. So you see him, obviously, distancing himself. But then here, you see Hera being saved by clones. And she holds that relationship, I guess, dear in her heart because later on, she does, you know, refer to that. So I really like that comparison between the two.
Yeah.
Clones, huh? Ahsoka's always full of surprises.
Well, don't get your hopes up. The great leader's not coming back with us.
And you don't want him to. I understand your fears, but I also remember when the Jedi and clones fought side by side. They saved billions of lives, including my own.
I know.
Then maybe that's a start. I gotta get back to these repairs if we're ever gonna get out of this system. Signal when you're en route.
It's interesting to see them, to see their experience as children and how it plays out later with them, their relationship as adults.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about Eleni. Eleni was awesome.
I was so
happy. Because when I saw the Rescue on Ryloth episode title the first time it came out, I thought, oh, this will be interesting, not just to see Cham, but I want to see Eleni. I want to see, I didn't know her name at the time, but I said I want to see Hera's mom. Because we only saw her in the form of a painting in Star Wars Rebels. And I was like, no, I need to see her in full form.
it is very true. Behind every great man, there's an even greater woman.
Yes, yeah, yeah. She
because was awesome. This woman knew what was happening at all times.
Yeah, especially when Hera was brought back. Like, yes, she knew
that she had been sent to spy.
Right.
So tell me everything you see. You saw, you know?
Yeah. And I love how very much involved she is in the state of the world. I love that.
Yeah.
And she also had some great lines. My favorite being, "I have seen how you treat your allies, Admiral. I prefer to be your enemy." Oh,
That was
a mic drop moment.
Yeah. Like, if everybody out there was like this woman, like, the Empire had no chance.
Oh, no. Not at all. They'd get stuff done.
Yeah.
So good. So good. And Hera, you know, what were your thoughts about seeing Hera, tiny Hera and Chopper for the first
Chopper.
Time? Chopper. That's Chopper. Right. As Eleni says it. So what were your thoughts?
I got so emotional. I went like, oh my God, Hera, oh my God, oh my God, Chopper.
Yeah, you really did freak out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I miss Rebels so much.
I do. I miss it so much as well.
But yeah, I liked it. It was very interesting in seeing her beginnings, her what we know ends up being part of who she becomes later on.
Right.
Because we see here that not animosity, but that, you know, difference of opinions between daughter and father.
Right.
We see where she gets her wanting to help more than just Ryloth,
right.
Her mother.
Yes.
You know? And we see how she starts to get her pilot abilities, you know? Because I love when the comment that Tech had, like, yes, something around the line, your crazy maneuvers are confusing them as much as they're confusing us.
Yeah.
You know? So, and we know her for crazy maneuvers.
Yes, we do. We do.
So I love that. I love all those little things that are put there that give us what Hera is later on.
Right. I do love how, you know, Gobi insisted that takeoffs and landings were difficult. And when you see her taking off with the ship, she just did not have a handle on it. It was just so funny to see her beginning, because we know her to be such an expert pilot, not just in, and this is the thing, like, I know there's that question of, like, who's the best pilot in the galaxy? And to me, personally, it's Hera, because not only is she a great pilot when it comes to the Ghost, but she's a great pilot in any vehicle she is in. And that determines, to me, what makes a great pilot, if you're able to fly anything. And I know Poe Dameron says, oh, I can fly anything. But, you know, I don't think we've seen him
fly everything.
Everything out there. But Hera, for sure, to me, is a fantastic pilot. And it's just so great to see her beginnings and how not so great she was at first.
But
that's where you start. You have to start somewhere.
And the seeds, you know, like wanting and trying everything.
Right.
Like, whatever works.
I also love that Tech taught her how to scramble a signature, ship signature. And I specifically remember a part in Rebels where she does that. And now I'm going to look at that and think, Tech taught her that.
Tech taught her, yeah. Yeah. And my thing with Tech and Hera is when Omega tells them, like, did you know flying is a feeling?
Yeah.
And Tech goes,
what feeling?
What feeling?
It's so foreign to him. Like, I love how Tech is very to the book. You need to know everything to know beforehand in order to fly. And I love how he even tells Omega how she needs to know all of the specifications before flying. And I really hope he's able to bend his own rules at some point, because Omega seems to have a lot of potential for that. But I get the feeling that Tech and the Marauder, their ship, I feel like that's his baby.
Yeah.
And he doesn't let anyone else take over the pilot seat. It's him. That's his.
But the funny thing is that even though he says what feeling in that scene, when you see him flying in the scene where they're coming to attack the
refinery,
he is having a feeling. You know, he knows when to punch it, when to stop it. You know what I'm saying? In his own way, he's feeling it. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't know he's feeling it.
Right, right. Oh, and something about that too, the whole not letting Omega fly because she needs to know the specifications. What's funny about that is, you know, in Star Wars, we see a lot of kids mm-hmm. being tossed into very dangerous situations that often involve the potential of dying. Yeah. So it's like, okay, sure. So you allow her to be in situations like that. But when it comes to flying, that's where you draw the line.
Actually, he wasn't too keen on Hunter sending them to...
Oh, on their own. That's right.
Yeah, he wasn't like...
I don't think that's out of the idea that he doesn't think that they're capable. I think that's more out of... I don't think that's right, sending them off on their own.
but this is the thing with Tech. Things come across very logical and straightforward with no feeling. But there's some feeling behind it,
right.
Regardless.
No, for sure, for sure.
And so we do see that little nugget there where he says, like, on their own.
Right.
Like,
yeah, he was the only one to question it. Yeah, I really do love that. And so going back to Hera, like, it's interesting how Gobi uses her to gather intel.
Yes.
So I was going to ask you, and we pretty much came to the same conclusion, was do you think Gobi was using her as a way to incite Cham?
Yes.
Most certainly, yes. Right? Yeah.
Most certainly. There is no doubt about it. And even if Hera's mom was aware of some of the activity, like we know she was aware of the spying in the refinery, she may not have been aware of everything. And I do honestly believe he did use her.
Yeah, he did. To get Cham into where he wanted him to be, which was to fight for their freedom. And that, to me, paints Gobi in a new light. Because I don't recall... I mean, I remember him in Rebels. I don't know if he showed up in Star Wars or Clone Wars. It's been so long, I don't remember. But I don't recall seeing him using that kind of tactic, but that, you know, ends don't justify the means.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was a little thorn in my side there, the fact that the way he manipulated her into coming with them.
Oh, with the flying. Yes.
Yeah. Like, come on, dude.
Yeah, he had some suspicions that something would go down.
And better to have Syndulla's child with us, because
it will bring him into the fight. Yeah, that was very interesting.
Yeah, it was a very Machiavelli kind of thing to do, and I didn't like it much. But in the end, we do see what Syndulla is capable of to save his family.
You know what's crazy? If Gobi hadn't done that, obviously Hera would have been caught in that situation. Eleni and Cham wouldn't have been arrested. So you could say that Gobi putting these dominoes into effect and then letting them fall the way that they did could eventually result in Eleni's death. So that sucks.
Yeah.
Hera getting arrested for committing treason. Do you think Cham would have gotten involved or approached the situation the same way if Hera wasn't involved?
Oh, no.
No,
he
right?
He would have done it differently. It may have ended up the same way in the sense that it may ended up with him rebelling, but it would have been a whole different story because now we're having adults making decisions for themselves. So what am I risking now?
Right.
Why am I risking it now? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we may have end up in the same place, but through a whole different story.
And it would have, the whole situation with him rebelling would have been on his terms.
Not Gobi
calling the shots or placing it in such a way so that he was pulled into it.
Yeah,
it's interesting how that all unfolded.
Yeah.
When Omega tells Hera that the Bad Batch are her brothers, Hera says, you're lucky because, and I don't think this was discussed outside of Rebels, but in Rebels, Thrawn told Hera she had a little baby brother that unfortunately didn't survive. With Omega saying that these are her brothers, her saying you're lucky the way that comes across is you're lucky to have siblings.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, I don't.
Yeah.
I would have if whatever happened didn't happen.
Yeah.
It was so sad.
Yes.
Yeah, such a that sad was, reminder.
Yeah. It was sad in the side of Hera, but when she said that, I was so proud because she like, they're my brother.
Yeah, you know, like, so sweet.
You know, it's not like I see them as people who are taking care of me. They're my brothers.
Yeah, a family, essentially. That's what it boils down to. And I love how Hera and Omega come up with the strategic plan together and how Omega puts her strategy skills to the test. And Hera puts her piloting skills into play. So yeah, that was really cool to see them interacting. And the touching moment at the end between Omega and Hera, and Hera thanking Omega for believing in her. Because I feel a lot of the times kids have to rely on each other or stick with each other because the adults don't have confidence in them to do what needs to be done. So for Hera to thank her for believing in me, it says a lot about how kids really do need to look out for each other.
Yes, they do.
Or be there for each other.
Right now, I'm watching a series, Home After Dark, and it's three little kids playing the journalist, you know. And one of the kids is, I believe is trans. She has all these beautiful pieces of clothing that she designs and stuff. And there's this scene where two of the bigger kids are picking on her because of the way she dresses. And she drops the clothing and stuff and starts to try to look more like a boy. And I was so sad. But then there's this moment where her two friends call her mom and say, can we come when she's not there? And all of a sudden, you see them coming out all dressed up with her pieces and stuff. And I'm like, yes, kids are awesome.
Yeah.
And they need to be together. They need to stick together. They need to back each other up.
Yes.
Because no one else does.
No one else will. Yeah. Ah, that's so beautiful.
I love that. I was crying when I saw that. Like, oh my God.
I would be crying too.
This is so beautiful.
But yeah, I love how Hera said, keep an eye on your brothers. They need it. And I feel like that was her saying, they need your guidance.
Yes.
Because she's the one who challenges them. So she's the one who's able to reason with them. And
guide them to do the right thing, to do what is
necessary. Yeah, so true. And did you have any other thoughts about Hera, little Hera and Chopper?
Oh my God, Chopper, like always, he stole the scenes every time. Oh my God, and you're trying to identify what the heck he was saying.
I will say it was a missed opportunity not having Chopper and Gunky working together. It's a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of Gunky, I love that part where Omega is trying to fix him and Hunter says he's a defective unit. But when she said that, it's okay. We're also defective.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that was so cool.
Yeah, that was very sweet of her to say that and just give because Gonki sort of leaned forward.
Like he was sad that he cannot be more than what he is. He says, don't worry, we're also defective.
Omega's just the best. I love her so much. But moving into the Empire, very briefly, I'm curious what's going to happen to Rampart in the series. You know, like, will we see him get his comeuppance at some point?
Oh, I would love to see that.
And then how do you think that's going to happen?
Honestly, I would love for him to fall out of grace. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Fall, like, no position, no nothing, like...
That would be so interesting.
Because a person like him, that's what they need.
And we're so used to seeing these people either die for their cause, or like Price, where she stays in the dome and ends up dying or just being killed. Like, I would love to see him, like you said, falling from grace.
Yes, and just try to make it out there with everybody knowing exactly who he is.
Right. Oh, that's an interesting fate. Oh,
What is it? It's a fate worse than death.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the moments that identify that a fate can be worse than death.
Yeah. Oh, that would be so interesting. So final thoughts. It's super sexy how Hunter destroyed that probe droid.
Oh.
Yeah, with his dagger. I was just like, oh, so hot.
I just love how you just get excited.
Yeah, I do. I just, oh, he's so hot. And so one thing I wanted to point out, I don't know whether anyone else has, they probably have, but Jack, Shea, and Sue's models were in the crowds in the first episode. And it made me wonder where they went after leaving the second episode. Like, where are they in the galaxy now? Mm-hmm. And whether, I highly doubt they went to Ryloth just because of the constant friction that goes on there with whatever occupying army is there. So yeah, I'm curious where they went off to. But like I said, they used the models because you kind of see them, you spot them in the crowd. And I thought, oh, that's Jack and Shea.
Only you will know that. Yes. Like, I had no clue.
I did. I actually spent a few minutes pausing every second just to see if I can spot anything interesting in the crowd.
Oh my God.
These are the things that I do. Yes.
Oh boy.
And then again, for me, touching on what we talked about in the first couple of minutes, the fact that I feel like there's some depth missing in the series. You know, I wish things were being followed through, like Crosshair's eye on blast. You know, we didn't see the effects of what happened after the Martez sisters and what they said. And again, I think we're going to see some of this pop up in the future. But for now, it feels like some of these things are being forgotten.
No, I could understand that. I can see that.
Yeah.
You know, to have my own opinion doesn't mean that I do not understand yours.
Oh, no, of course. Yeah, yeah.
So I do see what you mean. I'm just hoping, I'm putting all my hopes on the rest of the season so that I can see it through from the beginning. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
No, like, yeah, of
I
course.
Can see how it flowed all the way through.
Right. And another reason why I was critical of this, of these two episodes, it's because I noticed that people loved these two episodes more because of the fact that the Bad Batch weren't in it as much. This series is called The Bad Batch. It's about them. And to completely disregard them and say that this episode, the show would be better without them, it's like, what?
So then it's not the Bad Batch.
So it's not you're not looking for a Bad Batch series then. I'm looking for a Bad Batch series.
Yes.
So that's why I took issue with it, because of the fact that, you know, the focus was geared elsewhere. And the Bad Batch were sort of secondary characters in their own story. But, you know, for what it was, I really did enjoy it. I geeked out in the first couple of minutes when I saw Hera and Chopper. And it was so much fun. And so what comes next is the episode Infested. When you hear that word, you can't help but think of bugs. I think maybe that's where they're going, or maybe it's infested in a more metaphorical sense. Like the Empire infesting parts of the galaxy.
One of the comments Hunter said to Eleni and Cham was like, they keep the money. You're going to need it.
Yeah.
The Empire is doing this across the universe to a lot of other planets.
Right.
Not just yours.
Right. But if I was taking it more literally, I was thinking bugs.
Bugs.
And then stuff like infesting their ship. Because I feel like their ship is a character on its own. And that could potentially have its own
infestation
problem later on. Yeah. And there's obviously going to be a confrontation between the Bad Batch and Crosshair. I'm still slightly disappointed he's not making his own choices, but that's just me. And of course, there are 4 episodes left, and we still have to touch on Omega's situation. We don't know what the contingency plan is. We haven't heard from the Kaminoans in a little bit, so I don't know what they're up to. And we still need to deal with the threat that is Crosshair. So yeah, that's going to be a lot to pack in there. Hopefully we get a season 2 announcement. Yeah. And then that way they can carry over some of these plot threads.
Yes. People, you better not give us 4 episodes and leave us hanging and then not bring Bad Batch again.
I know, right? No, I feel like we will get it.
That's gonna destroy me.
Yeah, I know. It will destroy me too. I feel like we will get it. But that's it. That's it for today's episode. The next time you hear from us, we'll be talking about the 13th episode of The Bad Batch Infested. But before then, where can listeners find you, Mommy?
Listeners can find me on Twitter with the handle at Hovian214.
And listeners can also find me on Twitter with the handle at Blue Jay Guys and Geeky Bubble with the handle at Geeky Bubble Pod.
And may the force be with you.
Always.
God!